Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports!
Thank you. Every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way. My photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Did you know that they make mint chocolate chip gum?
Doesn't surprise me.
I mean, it has to a little bit, right? Like, okay, let me rephrase that. Did you know that they make mint chocolate chip gum and then it's good? Have I talked about this on the show already? I feel like I have, because I feel like I had to explain that Extra was a gum brand. I might have done this before.
Maybe, but I don't know.
If you don't remember, it seems unlikely that anybody else does. I'm just chewing it now, and it's just so pleasant. It seems like it would be kind of a textural difficulty. It's not cold like ice cream. It doesn't have the little chocolate chips in it that give you that textural pop. But it's still very good. I was driving in today and flipping around to some different places and checking out a couple different audio-based programs. And the conversation topics that were getting brought to the front today were kind of bizarre. Like, it's just a bunch of things like that didn't seem like they deserved to be full-on conversation topics. And then I thought, you know, like, oh, so I understand why that's happening. It's because it's a weird time right now in Kansas City sports. You got nothing, obviously, on foot or on baseball. You've got nothing really for KU, K-State, and Mizzou football. It's all kind of just like you're waiting for bowl season, unless you're Kansas. Which obviously points you at the Chiefs, which is exactly what I'm happiest talking about. No problem with that whatsoever. The problem is you're also in such a weird place with the Chiefs right now. And this is a thought that I had earlier today. You know that meme of the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other? Earlier in the season, somebody used it for, like, whenever Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers meet in the Super Bowl. And I thought that was kind of funny. But now the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other meme is, like, exactly what we're about to see on Sunday. Now you can say, whoa, that's unfair. That's uncool. You're making the Chiefs and the Jets the same team? And I'm not making them the same team necessarily, but they're doing a lot of the same things. And I've been thinking this all this week that I would go ahead and pick the Chiefs on Sunday. And I'm starting to reconsider. I'm starting to think that I may have decided too quickly. You know why the Chiefs and the Jets are unbelievably similar right now? They've both lost 5 of their last 6 games. That's not great. I'm not a huge fan of that way of panning through the season. The difference is that the Jets have lost to better teams. The Chiefs have lost to the Steelers, Raiders, Cowboys, Giants, and Bills, and they beat the Broncos, which is one playoff team in the Steelers and then an outside chance for the Cowboys. And the Jets have lost 5 of their last 6 to the Patriots, Dolphins, Falcons, Buccaneers, and Panthers, and they beat the Bills, so obviously beat the Chiefs. That's probably 3 playoff teams. The Panthers, I guess, are the maybe. Oh, actually, the Falcons. It's probably not 3 playoff teams because the NFC South is loaded. But 2 and a maybe, I would say. It's all very similar. There are a couple of teams that at least currently don't trust their quarterback and would like to hide from their quarterbacks. the Chiefs have advantages at running back and tight end, to be sure. Robbie Anderson's been really good. The receiver for the Jets is just Tyreek Hill's been very good for the Chiefs. But it's two teams in really kind of desperate positions. Now, the difference is that the Chiefs are winning their division and the Jets are in third in theirs. The Jets are not making the playoffs. I mean, they play at the Saints and at the Patriots the rest of this year. They're losing 9 games minimum. And the Chiefs are in the driver's seat for their own playoff spot. But it feels like two teams that are a whole lot more similar than we would have expected the Chiefs and the Jets to be at this point in the year. Again, I understand the Chiefs started way hotter. We've seen a way higher ceiling on the Chiefs than we've seen on the Jets. But it's a pretty tight race. And that's got to make you uncomfortable. I hate it. And we've gotten now to a point, by the way, with the Alex Smith discussions, and we'll hear from Alex Smith in a little bit, and we'll hear from Andy Reid talking about Alex Smith in a little bit. Or more Andy Reid not talking about Alex Smith. We've gotten to a point now in the Alex Smith conversation where people are, like, actively recusing themselves from the conversation. Where it's just gotten so venomous. Which, actually, I think is an overstatement. But the perception is that it's gotten just so toxic as a conversation that people are just bowing out of the conversation. I'm not there because I think it's the biggest problem on an offense that is extremely flawed, and it's on a team that has playoff run aspirations and certainly has the belief that one of the quarterbacks in this conversation is the guy who's going to win you playoff games in the future. That's the expectation and the understanding for where you're at. But we've gotten to a point where even that has kind of simmered down. Like, I don't know. I guess I could have even, like, I could put this out in a poll or something on Twitter. But, I mean, I wonder if the average Chiefs fan is tired of the conversation. Or what you think, what the average Chiefs fan thinks we should be talking about. Because, listen, I know that the offensive line has some problems. And I know that the run blocking for the offensive line has been especially problematic. We can all kind of talk and laugh a little bit at the Alex Smith mic'd up thing from the Bills game. Did you happen to see that, Beards? There was a Beards says no. He didn't say no. He shook his head in an audio medium, but no. I went ahead and thank you. Would that have been so hard?
Now.
Yeah, an extremely small percentage of our audience is watching the show. And you didn't even shake your head. You, like, shook your eyes back and forth to show me that you meant no. I think Cody Tapp just got tickled like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Did that laugh come through my microphone?
I heard it.
I'm afraid for him. I feel like he just got attacked by the world's largest feather. So the offensive line has problems, and I get it. We talked about the defense. Whenever the defense is a problem, we talked about it. We'd spent a week going, how do you fix the Chiefs' run defense? And, you know, pat myself on the back here. That's my back. Bob Sutton did a lot of the things we said he should do, and the defense got better. So, good job us, I guess. But now we're back at this one problem where the thing that's changed from the first 5 weeks to now is apparently the run blocking has gotten worse, and so is Alex Smith. And you can't replace the whole offensive line like you can replace the quarterback position. And again, I'm at a place now where the more I think about it, the more I'm not even thinking about this move being made for next year. I think this team feels so limited right now. Anyway, we've talked about that a lot, and I understand. Arrowhead Pride put out a post earlier today that I just remembered seeing. I didn't even read the full post, but I saw the tweet, and it jogged a memory from last year. They said that Kareem Hunt has fallen off at a similar pace this year as Spencer Ware did last year. And this is an extremely interesting pattern. Fluke, perhaps, but at least a pattern. It actually is born of a tweet from Brandon Kiley, who've had on the show a few times. And the Union Broadcasting Wi-Fi today has been especially horrific. So we'll see if that tweet loads. Here we go. Kareem Hunt, his first 5 weeks, he had a total of about 100 carries, a little over 600 yards, 16 receptions for 166 yards, and 6 touchdowns. First 5 weeks last year for Spencer Ware, about 100 carries, about 500 yards, 15 receptions for 285 yards, 3 touchdowns. The next 6 weeks for Kareem Hunt, 86 carries, 281 yards, 20 receptions, 178 yards, no touchdowns. Spencer Ware the next 6 weeks, 88 carries, one more, 298 yards, 13 receptions, 7 less, 117 yards, about 60 yards less, and 2 touchdowns. You could argue, perhaps, it's just the decline of a running back that gets rattled around a lot. But Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware weren't getting inordinate amounts of touches those first 5 weeks of each season. They both averaged something like 20-ish touches per game. And we thought at the time that Reed was underutilizing Kareem Hunt. Then you got to get him more carries than even that. But it seemed like they were operating with Kareem Hunt in a pretty limited way. So is it the offensive line wearing down? Well, the Chiefs' offensive line this year has gotten healthier as the season's gone on. Because you lost LDT early on, and you lost Mitch Morse for a little bit, and they come back. They're back now. The offensive line appears to be ready to go as the Chiefs would want it to, even though we talk about Parker Anger constantly as a guy who's never on the injury report but also is never active anymore. I don't understand. But it's an interesting comparison. Now, you can talk about the offensive line schemes and the Chiefs running zone blocking schemes whenever they have guys like Zach Fulton and Mitch Morse, who would be slightly better suited to do man-to-man kind of power blocking schemes. You can do that for a while. But the decline, I just think, is really interesting because the logic behind it is kind of confusing. Anyway, what about the game on Sunday? Two teams that look very similar over the last 6 weeks. It feels useless to try to give, like, keys to the game, because last week the Chiefs played an offense that had given up, like, 4,700 yards on the ground over the last 3 weeks. And like before, they were playing one of the two worst teams in football who had just lost to the worst team in football previously. The blueprints have been there, and the Chiefs haven't taken them. So I don't know if there's a blueprint that matters. I don't know if it's Andy Reid outsmarting himself, if it's execution problems, as it has often been. It's often been execution problems. And now I'm just kind of staring at these matchups, not knowing what to expect. I guess if you have a gut feeling about this being a bounce-back game for the offense, I could understand where you'd be coming from. But I don't. I don't feel that way. I'm probably going to have to wait until tomorrow to make my pick because I don't know what I want here. You could believe that this is going to be a bounce-back game for the Chiefs offense, after scoring, what was the stat I've been putting out? I mean, it was 4 offensive touchdowns in the last 4 weeks. 2 of them, one of them being a screen, one being the Hail Mary. If you think that this is going to be whenever that putrid offense comes back to life, you're welcome to have that gut feeling, but I'm going to be very confused by your line of logic. Why would you think that? Why are the Jets a better time for that to happen than the Giants or Bills? The Steelers' loss made sense. The Raiders' loss made sense. The Cowboys' loss made sense. It was 3 out of 4, but they made sense. The last 2 weeks, and I know that the NFL is weird, and the NFL can be random, and the ball bounces one way or another, but I'm not doing results. I'm not just saying, oh, they lost these last 2 games. That's the point. I'm saying with what I saw these last 2 weeks, it was baffling. So much so that I've been leaning in the last 12 hours or so, because, you know, I'm just thinking about the Chiefs constantly. I've been leaning more towards picking the Jets, because why would I expect the Chiefs to do something we haven't seen them do in a very long time? Your counter argument can be, well, listen, you're not going to let Josh McCown beat you. You let Eli Manning beat you with nothing around him. You let Tyrod Taylor beat you. They have to be trying to demolish the studio behind us. The 810 studio, they have to be just
was
trying to...
Was that coming from you?
No.
From back there?
Back there.
Huh.
Just using the desk for scraps.
They put the hammer down.
Baby. Also, you know, if I was going to have a thing... If I was going to have kind of a rule of thumb for how I analyze NFL things... And this could be a flaw or a strength, and I'm not really sure because I haven't done the opposite to see how that went. But I think at this point, my general philosophy is I'm not going to predict major changes before I see an inclination of it coming. It seems like a silly way to go about it, to go, you know what, I think this is the week. I think this is the week. So I didn't predict that Alex would start off the season with 5 super spicy games. Because why would I predict that with no logical lead up to it? And I also, you know, I didn't predict Alex Smith to drop off against bad defenses. I wasn't very optimistic versus the Steelers. I was a little too optimistic, really, because the Steelers were in bad shape, I guess. So maybe I'm being revisionist there, because I did think the Chiefs would beat the Steelers in that week leading up to it. But I've been shown the same thing from the offense for the last 6 weeks, with the exception of playing a Raiders defense that was on a short week, just begging you to score on them. With the exception of that week, I've just seen this kind of uninspired carousel of the same thing passing by over and over again. So I don't feel any real reason to talk myself into picking the Chiefs here, or at the very least, I don't feel any real reason to talk myself into thinking that the Chiefs are going to win this game by a good margin. If they do, great. If the offense goes and hangs up 40 on the Jets, so be it. Lovely. Also, for the record, that will not be the beginning of me apologizing for a week for suggesting that Mahomes should start. For saying that Mahomes should start. I don't care about Chiefs-Jets as a indication of what should happen for the future of this franchise. I care about the second round of the playoffs. And next year's second round of the playoffs. And the next year's third round of the playoffs. And the next year's Super Bowl. So I hope the Chiefs win this week. I would love to see them win 40-0 and put some confidence back in and maybe give you something to think about. The problem is, just like I said against the Raiders and the Broncos and the Cowboys and the Giants and the Bills, a blowout victory doesn't make me think that it doesn't wash the taste of 19-13 against the Steelers out of my mouth. That is going to be the thing that sits there for the rest of this season. And I also, I won't feel bad about doing that. I asked Beers before the show what he wanted to talk about today, if he thought anything interesting was going on. And he said, oh, we could talk about Ben Simmons shooting 29 free throws last night.
I wanted to see what your reaction would be. It was about what I expected. You didn't need to throw things at me, by the way.
Listen, that CPU was right by me. It just seemed... I was just filled with rage. I don't know, we could talk about that like late in the second hour. It's like a late second hour topic. When you're like, oof, we spent the last segment talking about Roman Emperor deaths. What are we going to do? We did that yesterday, by the way, in case you missed it. What are we going to do to bring it into a sports conversation?
You learn some stuff, by the way?
I did, but you saved the most interesting stuff for after the show. You're like, yeah, there's also one guy who got killed and then had molten hot gold poured down his throat. Like, oh, that's... It's more interesting than one...
He wasn't an emperor, though.
No, okay. All right, we're going to take a break, and whenever we come back, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and from Alex Smith. This was their audio from yesterday. Yesterday, we only made fun of Andy Reid's press conference discussions, but I was listening back to it today, and it was kind of startling how... unbelievably well he avoided any questions having to do with Alex Smith's performance. So we'll hear some of that whenever we come back, along with Alex Smith talking about Alex Smith's performance. God, I do worry sometimes this show has a little bit of a one-track mind.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I might just be a hamster. That's a possibility.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That out of context will be stupendous.
That's what I was thinking when I marked it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
What was that about?
I don't know. It was out of context.
When did I say it might just be a hamster? Why would I say that? Why did I say that?
I don't think that was from last week. I think it was from the week before, maybe. I don't know.
It's a little bit older. Wow. All right, what do you know? All right, so as I mentioned, yesterday Alex Smith and Andy Reid talked to the media, and today, in the last couple of days, we've heard from Derek Johnson and Orson Charles, and I listened to all of it, and none of it was interesting, so, you know, I do this so you don't have to. But Andy Reid yesterday would like for you to stop asking about Alex Smith. I think we referenced this clip yesterday, but I heard it in full before today's show, and it sounds completely bonkers. It sounds like Andy Reid doing a parody of his Sunday post-game press conference. Listen, I don't think Andy Reid genuinely believes that Alex Smith is not a part of the problem. I'm sure that he does know that that he is. That sentence was a disaster. I'm sure that he knows that Alex Smith is a part of the problem. But he sounds so defensive here, it sounds like he's not even considering the idea that the blame of this offense does at least partially fall to Alex Smith. So listen to Andy Reid here. It's kind of nuts.
Do you think some of Alex's recent struggles are mental versus just, you know, how the team is playing as a whole on the field?
Yeah, I think it's not just Alex. I think people do that. I told you that I've got to get better at doing my part. Each position has got to do better. This is a team game, and so everybody, for a better term, has a piece of the pie. And so You're bringing it to Alex. I'm bringing it to all of us doing a better job. And Alex is part of the team, so he's included in that. But it's surely not one person.
That's not the question was. I mean, Andy Reid throws himself between the bullet and Alex Smith, but it wasn't even about blaming Alex Smith for the problems. Is it the end? You know, you put it on Alex, I put it on all of us. Listen again to the question here, and then the beginning of Andy Reid's answer. The question is about how much of Alex Smith's struggles are mental. Andy Reid's answer is about how Alex Smith's struggles aren't the problem in a way that is it truly when you hear it again, it's like legitimately a non sequitur.
Do you think some of Alex's recent struggles are mental versus just you know how the team is playing as a whole on the field?
Yeah, I think it's not just Alex. I think people do that. I told you that I've got to get better at doing.
But it wasn't about just being Alex. That was not the question. He didn't say how much of the offense's struggles are Alex Smith's fault. He asked about Alex Smith's specific thing. It's not a huge deal. I thought it was interesting. Because I think Andy Reid sees Alex Smith right now as a guy who needs some protection. Not in the offensive line sense, although that's also true, but like in the media. I think Andy Reid sees how easy it is to blame Alex Smith, accurately or not. And I think he's... I'm not going to say that I think he is a... That he thinks that Alex Smith is fragile and can't handle it. I don't get that vibe from Alex Smith, frankly. I don't think Alex Smith is fragile. But the ferocity with which he leaps to Alex Smith's defense is just kind of strange.
I wouldn't call that fierce. I wouldn't say he had ferocity when he does that.
Okay, well, on Sunday he did. On Sunday, there was some ferocity.
That's true.
But I guess you could say...
He kind of lumbers in the direction of the bullet.
Okay, I will say the consistency with which he defends Alex Smith from Alex with related questions.
Was it yesterday or the day before we were kind of talking about that and how he's like in the political debates where somebody asks a question, he's like, yeah, that's a great question, but I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about.
Right, it's like, well, so... Mr. Politician, I'm doing this bipartisanly because I got nervous. So, Mr. or Mrs. No, if it's Mrs., it's not bipartisan anymore. So, Senator, there we go. Senator's safe, right? So, Senator, what do you think about this healthcare plan? Well, listen, we've got to fund our military. Wait a second. Hold on. That's not the point. Now, Senator, what do you think about this new tax bill? Well, listen, I've said long and many times, you better stand for the anthem. Wait a second, that's not what we're talking about at all. That was actually about taxes. Yeah, I mean that is what it sounds like. I wish I knew Andy Reid's actual motivation for doing that, though. Because, I think to some extent Andy Reid does just want everyone to get, like, you know, fair chunks of the blame. But it seems like he is so insistent on not letting any of it fall to Alex Smith that it becomes, it's you doth protest too much. And that a guy who has been, I think, pretty reasonably critical of Alex Smith is Alex Smith. Here's something from him from yesterday, talking about what's not going particularly well. I think he gives a pretty good summary of the problems he's currently having here. It's not what the question was exactly about, but Alex Smith does go through some of the reasons that he's struggling, and I thought this was relatively insightful.
In your case, what is attention to detail?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many things. Certainly quarterback play starts with your eyes and feet, right? And those have to be in the right place and have to be on time. And, you know, and then you got to go out there and play, certainly, right? You just got to go play. There's a certain amount of plays that go as rehearsed, and then there's obviously a huge chunk that don't, right? And you got to use your instincts and fundamentals and go out there and, you know, make plays. Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. What's wrong with Alex Smith right now is that it starts with the eyes and the feet. And that's something that we have talked about here many, many, many times. We talked about that during the offseason. He gets worried about the pressure around him, and his feet start getting happy. The pressure starts to get to him. He starts to get worried about what's coming at him, and his eyes drop. His eyes and his feet, that's the first thing you mentioned there. His eyes and his feet have been a problem for him throughout his career, frankly. So then you've got to go play. Not particularly insightful, admittedly, but interesting. Because that's actually talking about the execution of it. Right now, Alex Smith is having an execution problem. Because the next thing he talked about was rehearsed versus unrehearsed plays. He is a very competent quarterback whenever things go according to what he's expecting, when things go according to plan. Whenever it's one of the rehearsed plays. But whenever his feet get bad, whenever his eyes drop, whenever he has to make the play in an unrehearsed setting, it breaks down. So I think that snippet of Alex Smith right there really does point to the ways in which he struggled most recently. The problem with that is it doesn't feel fixable. Which is, again, where I, like, really the offense could go score 40 points against the Jets this week, and I wouldn't be sure that I'm not still all in on the Mahomes train. Because Alex Smith is all about the rehearsed plays. He's not a good improvisational quarterback. Not that he should be less prepared, obviously, but when things don't go according to plan, he struggles. When he has to go make the plays, his execution has been bad. His eyes and his feet are great whenever he fully trusts his offensive line. Coming into the season and then through the first five games or so, he trusted his offensive line and played extremely well. Steelers game was a problem, but he got back on it for the Raiders game. I think there were a couple of big hits in the Broncos game, and it might be revisionist of me, but that feels like the time it was broken. The Steelers game just sort of felt like the Chiefs getting lit by the Steelers. He was not good in that game, but no one really was. So I think that his honesty there is nice. But it also doesn't really lead to a fix. He also said one other thing yesterday that was something we had been speculating about. We had talked a little bit and said, I wonder if Alex Smith is hurt. I wonder if there's a physical ailment here. And someone asked Alex Smith about how he's feeling, and here's his response.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel really good. You know, sometimes those, I think, the ones that look the worst aren't always, you know, so this time of year feels, I think, about as good as to be expected. Yeah.
Not jarring. Not him saying everything is perfect. But I think if there was something physically ailing him, he would have at least said, and we're parsing words, I know we're parsing words, but I feel like he would have at least said, yeah, you know, everybody's banged up, everybody's playing through things, everybody, including myself, you know, is fighting through the ailments that come through a football season. Something along those lines. And it seems like he feels fine. So that conspiracy theory kind of vaporizes. And then so we're back to square one. And I don't even know if this team is going to beat the Jets. Because they couldn't beat the Bills or the Giants. So that's not thrilling. Yeah, at least the weather outside is nice, right? Also, there's a pretty good football game on tonight. It could distract you, potentially, from the sadness that could destroy us all on Sunday. We can talk about that next. Then we'll get to Ben Simmons taking 29 free throw shots last night, Pierce. I think we can all agree, clearly, the topic of the day. Sorry, did you hear that just then?
Hear what?
The sound of everyone listening to this changing the station.
Now that you mention it, no?
Well, they're gone. It's your fault. Also my fault. Not Alex Smith's fault.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This is actually... Oh, I heard somebody in the other studio say the word Mahomes. Sorry, I got distracted.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
It's really inconvenient whenever I start a yawn at the beginning of, like, the music. That's what just happened. During the commercial break, I was watching a video from the Lebatard Show today as they were confronting the fact that yesterday, it might have been 2 days ago, that Stugatz said something really ridiculous and aggressive about Eli Manning and how he should just shut up. How he's a, how he never played in San Diego because he's
a
diva. Did you see the actual clip?
Yes.
So the actual clip
I saw
is insane.
I saw it on ESPN's Twitter account.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it's on ESPN's Facebook. I did, because I looked at the comments.
Yep.
Holy bleep.
They don't get the show.
They don't get the show at all. I was like, how many rings has this guy won? ESPN fired real reporters to keep this liberal hack. Like, those were legitimately the comments. And I was just watching a video of them discussing it today. I haven't listened to the show yet today, but I saw them discussing it, on the video of them discussing it. And they look like they're having so much fun. Why aren't we having that much fun, Beards?
It's a Thursday.
Not this whole, like, yesterday was good, but this whole week has been...
We're in the pit of despair of the Chiefs.
I'm not, the pit just, of misery. Dilly dilly. Sorry. I don't even like that commercial.
I don't care.
The dilly dilly thing is not that great, and so it's just okay.
Charlie was disappointed when I said it was eh.
It is eh, though.
It's eh.
It's eh.
There are better commercials, but there are definitely worse ones.
Yeah, sure. And it's made its way into lexicon. If you walked into any bar right now and just raised up a glass and went dilly dilly, you would get a response. Like that's pretty solid. That's a pretty solid marketing campaign. Good marketing campaign, average commercial. But you're right, the Chiefs' pit of misery has been really all-encompassing. I almost said that this has felt like a job this week, and that's not true, because I remembered what it felt like to work at Chick-fil-A and stuff. So that's not accurate. I almost said that, and I wanted to apologize for almost saying that, because that's not true. I don't know, I think you're losing... I think Beards is losing his patience with me to some extent. I think Beards is getting sick of my bleep. And it's not really, it's not all the thing. He's literally just stroking his own beard. I don't know if it's me or if it's the fact that we usually like start the show with some like serious Chief stuff, and then like, you know, third segment we do some sort of meta show conversations, and then the second hour can kind of just fly wherever.
I feel like the Chiefs would just put everybody in a sad misery.
It's true. Like I said earlier, I listened to several different local radio shows in snippets over the last couple of days. And today I heard the beginning of a couple of shows. And
everybody's just like, oh, woe is us. The Chiefs suck.
It was just, yeah. I mean, it was like,
God, we better hope we beat the Jets.
Right. It was the shows that are, it was like, oh,
we'll burn it to the ground.
The Chiefs really need to take the Jets seriously. And it was like, the Darrell Revis needs to fix Marcus Peters. Like, that was kind of the, those were the topics.
Your dad has commented, join the club, Beards. I'm assuming that means people tired of your bleep.
Yep, 100%. Yep, that's exactly what that means. The advantage you have, Beards, is my existence isn't your fault, Dad. Like, is my access to a microphone partially your fault? Sure. Is this show in its current form partially your fault? Of course. My father disowning me because he's so sick of my bleep.
That's coming.
It's kind of his own fault. Now you got to take some of the ownership there. He texted me this morning. My dad was flying somewhere, and he said he saw Nate Bucati in an airport.
Did he come up and apologize to Nate? I'm so sorry that you have to work with my son.
No, but he said he saw Nate. Whenever my dad saw where Nate was, he said Nate grabbed this phone and appeared to be making a phone call, and then immediately after the TSA tackled my dad and took him out of the airport. So I think Nate's I think Nate's holding a grudge.
What'd you do
to Nate? What have I done to everyone?
I mean specifically though.
I didn't do anything. My dad was going to Fort Lauderdale. Great. What was your question? I didn't do anything to Nate. I just thought it'd be a funny little... See, Beards, what I was thinking is that it would be a fun little radio bit for me to pretend that Nate was holding a grudge against me, so he called to the TSA
to
report my dad as a terrorist.
I just kept the illusion going, and then you just ruined it by explaining...
You ruined it by saying, what did you do to Nate? I got nothing. I had nothing but good interactions with Nate. Except for that one time that I kicked him in the shins. Is that the thing you... Oh, man. I'm sorry. I really bungled that one. I walked up to him in the hallway one day. I kicked him in the shins really hard and said, where are your shin guards now? And then... go ahead, flop. No one's going to give me a red card. And then he got back at me by having my dad dragged off of his plane like that guy who was on that one flight. How much time do we have left in the segment, Beards?
We've got basically 2.5 minutes.
Thursday Night Football!
Let's see what's on TV tonight. Out at Austin's Grill and Bar. Thursday is steak night at all three Austin's locations. So put down your TV guide and head to Austin's. Here's what to watch this evening.
Thursday Night Football. It's a good game. By the way, Austin's steak day on Thursday is three locations, one in Gardner and two in Olathe. It's Washington at Dallas tonight, and it's an interesting setup because the Cowboys have lost three in a row after beating the Chiefs. Washington is playing pretty well, and it's obviously a divisional rivalry game. Two teams fighting, though, for a wild card spot. Washington and Dallas are both 5-6, neck and neck behind the Eagles. So it's a fight for playoff contention. The Cowboys are such a different team without Tyron Smith and without Ezekiel Elliott, but Smith is supposed to play tonight, which has been a big part of their struggles so far. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott is out until, Christmas Eve. That's what you should be watching tonight. And if you want to watch it, go out to Austin's. Is there NBA action tonight, Beards?
There's NBA action, but there's nothing national. It's all NBA TV games. Philly-Boston will be fun, and then Milwaukee and Portland will be fun. Those are all on NBA TV.
Which Austin's might have. You should call. Call and ask. But even if the only thing is Thursday Night Football, it's a good matchup for you tonight. And as always, every week, thank you, Austin's, for supporting ESPN Kansas City and this show. Go out there three locations, one in Gardner, two in Olathe. Thursday steak day. I say every week, maybe this is the week. I'll say it again, maybe today's the day.
I don't know.
You know what? I'm only going to have NBA TV, though. That is the... I'm putting my foot down. All right, whenever we come back, we're going to talk about Ben Simmons shooting 29 free throws. Next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.